The Wall Street Journal article today says the Health and Human Services Department startled drug makers last year when the agency said it would start invoking a little-used administrative policy under the Social Security Act against pharmaceutical executives. This policy allows officials to bar corporate leaders from health industry companies doing business with the government if a drug company is guilty of criminal misconduct. Explain what this means. Explain what power the agencies have, in this case HHS, has to take against a company, a private sector company that does business with the government.
Well, of course, in this case, Francis, they actually did take action against this older, I think he's an 83-year-old gentleman who's the CEO of the company. And they have this authority that's little known and little used. It's, now, this is HHS, whereby that the Secretary of HHS can remove or exclude any corporate executive or manager from doing business with the federal government based solely on the position that you hold. And what's really important here, Francis, is that there's no judicial review or administrative review available. So if the government excludes you, which really means the company is going to have to fire you because the company has got to continue doing business with the federal government,
mm-hmm.
So you're basically going to lose your job, you have no recourse. I really think I think the reason this has never been challenged, it's never really been used. And what I think is going to happen, Francis, is you're going to see a constitutional challenge to this law because there's no due process, and it arguably is arbitrary and capricious. Because you could have a manager that has no knowledge of anything regarding what the company was doing. It could even be a lower-level manager who could be excluded by the government. It really doesn't make any sense, the breadth of the power that the government has in this particular instance.
The Department of Health and Human Services, according to the Wall Street Journal, this month notified Howard Solomon of Forest Laboratories that it intends to exclude him from doing business with the federal government. This, in turn, could prevent Forest Laboratories from selling its drugs to Medicare, Medicaid, and the VA. If the government implements its ban, Forest would have to dump Mr. Solomon, 83 years old, in order to protect its corporate revenue. And the Wall Street Journal says no drug company, large or small, can afford to lose out on sales to the federal government, a major customer. Is this applicable at other agencies, too? Do other agencies have this power?
Well, it's any federal health care program, so I suppose that might be true. The Department of Defense, for example, has TRICARE. So I think any federal health care program, obviously HHS is the one you're going to think of immediately, but I think it would involve VA, perhaps. It would involve the Department of Defense, perhaps. Again, nobody really knows because no one's ever used this authority. But you could tell HHS was warming up, Francis, because back in October of 2010, they issued guidance on implementing this particular provision of the Social Security Act. And I think that was an indication that they were going to start using the authority.
The Wall Street Journal piece quotes Richard Westling, who it says is a corporate defense attorney in Nashville. He may or may not be an agency regulatory expert, but he said it would be a mistake to see this solely as a healthcare industry issue. The use of sanctions such as exclusion and debarment to punish individuals where the government's unable to prove a direct legal or regulatory violation could have wide-ranging impact. He said the DOD and the Environmental Protection Agency, for example, have debarment powers similar to the HHS exclusion authority. You agree with what Mr. Westling says there?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are these mandatory debarment provisions in laws. They're fairly rare, not really used that often. What is used is the debarment procedures in the Federal Acquisition Regulation, and I think you're seeing the government using those procedures more and more. Matter of fact, SBA last year, for the first time ever, used its authority, a suspension of debarment authority. It's really a wake-up call, Francis, I think, across the boards, to take compliance programs very seriously and making sure top management is very involved in these compliance programs. If nothing else, it shows a commitment by the company to do the right thing. And if you don't have that, I think you're very vulnerable to debarment or exclusion under one of these laws.
Does this maybe leave the government open itself to some kind of a challenge to this, for somebody at some company to say, you just don't like us, you just decided you don't want to do business with us anymore, you don't want us around anymore, and so you're using this as a way to do that?
Well, I think a better argument is a constitutional argument. I'm not sure how the law itself is constitutional. And sure, you could also say that the government has actually targeted an individual for retribution or whatever. But the constitutional argument, I think, is fairly significant on this. And I'll be curious to see whether it plays out.
You have the unique ability to look at this from the OFPP perspective and the government acquisition perspective, and also from the legal perspective as an attorney. Is this a good or a bad idea, or is it all in the way that it's executed?
Well, I really do think every agency, including HHS, has debarment authority. It occurs to me that if HHS wanted to take action against this gentleman, the CEO of this company, they should do it under the debarment regulations, whereby the individual will have due process rights, there'll be an opportunity to be heard, a hearing is possible. Why shouldn't the government go ahead and go follow that course, as opposed to using this little-known authority to exclude him without any type of due process rights? It makes me, I think the government's sort of asking for trouble in a way, because if it has a case, and if this gentleman, if the government should be protected from him, they should use the debarment authority, which is available to the government. Every agency could proceed under the debarment authority.
Anything you see coming out of this long term that maybe we're not seeing on the surface of it?
Well, Inspector General offices across the government have been sort of concerned for many years, Francis, that the government's not using its debarment authority enough. And I think what you're seeing here, as a matter of fact, this is the Office of Inspector General at HHS that has a delegated authority from the Secretary of HHS to implement this provision. I think you're seeing IG offices becoming more aggressive about everything. Their oversight function, they're taking very seriously. They are recommending debarment, I think, more often to agency officials. And I think the message really for government contractors is you have to be very, very vigilant about your compliance program and also your obligations under the new mandatory disclosure rules, where any potential fraud has to be disclosed to the government. All of this is just a new day. It's a new day, and I think government contractors have to become much more serious about their compliance programs.
And I guess that takes me to where I wanted to go last, and that is this really a big deal? And it sounds like to you it is.
I think for contractors that do business with HHS, it very much is, not just because of this particular action that was taken, but also because the guidance that was issued back in October by the IG saying we're going to start using this authority, and they highlight the fact that this authority is not subject to administrative or judicial review, basically saying we will probably go this route as opposed to using the regulatory suspension and debarment authority because it's easier. And that is very troubling. I think for any contractor doing business with HHS, this is very troubling.
Rob, I appreciate you being on with me as always and explaining these complicated legal issues in a way we can all understand. Thanks for being on.
Francis.